من عمل الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, December is generally regarded as a month of festivity. The schools close for the summer vacations. Factories shut down for the year end. People generally take their leave during this time. Some, those that are fortunate, may even enjoy receiving some kind of bonus during the end of the year, etc. And on this occasion, it may be important for us to understand two human traits, two human conditions, two human desires. One is a desire to engage in pleasure, and the other is the state of happiness. Generally, happiness is oftenly or wrongly equated with pleasure. So there's a belief that the more you indulge and the more pleasure you engage in, the happier you will become. But there's a very distinct difference between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure has a physical nature. It is dependent on the fulfillment of our needs. It has to do with our senses. So we may derive pleasure from food. Having a good meal gives us a sense of pleasure. We may derive pleasure from a beautiful scene, or a car, or a holiday, or a set of clothes, etc. So pleasure has to do with your external circumstances. It doesn't spring from inside you. Happiness, by contrast, is derived from a state of being from within. Happiness is derived from a cluster, several human attributes, inner attributes. For example, faith. Your level of faith is going to determine your happiness. The love that you display determines your happiness. The discipline that you display, commit yourself to, determines your happiness. So, happiness is a state of being that can be achieved, that can exist, even in the absence of ideal external circumstances. You may not have money, but you could still be happy. So the difference between the two is pleasure is derived from your external circumstances. Happiness is derived from your internal self, your internal well-being. Generally, during these days of festivity, these two emotions are confused. So in the quest of happiness, people indulge. And they think that by satisfying or indulging in the outer world, they will enjoy peace from within. But these are two different human emotions. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a pleasurable meal or going on a holiday, etc. But we should not confuse the two, because the one is lasting. Happiness is an inner state that is enduring. And pleasure is a temporary state that is attained through indulgence, through the through the external circumstances. So, how do we then achieve the state of happiness? If we want to migrate and move on from just pleasure, carnal pleasure, to an enduring state of happiness, then we have to make certain, we should be conscious of certain fundamental differences between the two. Firstly, we have to guard against the consumption culture. We've been conditioned to believe through the media and through advertising, etc., that you cannot be happy in your present condition. You cannot be happy in your present circumstances. For you to be happy, you have to break loose. You have to indulge. You have to shop. You have to partake of a meal. Or you have to go to a place. This consumption culture wrongly leads us to a belief that the more we indulge, the more happier we'll be. Yes, we will enjoy momentary pleasure, but that's very different from lasting happiness. So, happiness cannot be achieved by maximizing pleasure. Happiness cannot be bought. Pleasure can be bought. Happiness cannot be bought, because it flows and springs from within, not from the outside. Therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, "Laysa al-ghina," that ghina, self-enrichment, self-enrichment does not come through possessing a lot, not through the consumption culture. Walakin, but true enrichment is the enrichment from within, the enrichment of the soul. It's a state of being. It's the way your value system is going to determine how happy you are going to be or how miserable you're going to be, irrespective of your external circumstances. Secondly, to achieve happiness, we need to guard against comparing ourselves to other people. Allah says, لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عِنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَ بِهِ, that do not strain your eyes in longing for things that we have given groups of other people. There's a famous quote that says, comparison is the thief of all joy. Comparison is the thief of all joy. The hours we spend measuring our own lives against the lives of other people is the time that is lost in appreciating what you really have. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has repeatedly reminded us that look at those below you and not those above you. Because if you keep straining your eyes and fixing your gaze at people who have more than you, you naturally feel deprived. And if you're in that state long enough, That sense of deprivation eventually turns to envy. So comparing yourself all the time with what other people have is the fast track to misery and unhappiness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once advised a sahabi and said, do not love this world and Allah will love you. And do not love and yearn for what other people have and people will love you. So one is that in order to understand the difference between happiness and pleasure, we need to understand the difference between consumption by indulging externally and the state of inner being. Two, we need to guard against comparing ourselves with what others have. And thirdly, we should avoid self-pity. Feeling, you know, sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry because of your present conditions is not only a waste of energy, but it becomes addictive. It's like a drug. Self-pity is like a drug. A scholar says that self-pity is the most destructive of non-pharmaceutical narcotics, drugs. Because drugs and the sense of self-pity do the same thing. What do they do? It gives you momentary pleasure. Like a drug gives you a high for a period of time. Self-pity does the same. And then it separates the victim from reality. So you live in your own little bubble. And thirdly, it becomes increasingly addictive. So when you focus on things that are going wrong in your life, you naturally then enter into a negative state of existence. And this negative state of thought then determines your moods and your behavior and how you engage and interact with people. So they say that self-pity is like a rocking chair. Self-pity is like a rocking chair. It gives you some movement but gets you nowhere. So you do feel a sense of movement, but you don't cover any pace. It doesn't make any difference in your life. So nothing diminishes self-pity as fast as action. Commit yourself, be strong, and try to change your circumstances. But if you wallow in self-pity, you just enter into this negative cycle from which you'll never come out ever. And lastly, true happiness depends on your ability to accept your circumstances and trust in Allah. Your ability to accept your circumstances. There's some things we can never change. And as long as we do not accept that principle, there's some things in our lives that we will never be able to change. We will never achieve lasting happiness. So a study conducted in 2005 found that a study to determine why are some people happy? And why do some people seem permanently miserable? And they found that 50% of your state of being is genetic. Half of how you feel is how you are wired. There's nothing you can do about it. It just comes down from generation to generation. 10% of your happiness depends on your external circumstances. Your health, your wealth, your race, your gender, your profession, etc. And 40% of your happiness depends on how you respond to events around you, the choices that you make, the ability to accept your circumstances, the ability to acknowledge that life unfolds, a great part of your life unfolds according to the decree of Allah. And also an acceptance of the fact that there are many things that you like, but may be harmful to you. Allah says, "Asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khairul lakum." That perhaps there are many things that you detest because of your short-sightedness, but there's immense good in what is happening. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'a wa huwa sharrul lakum. And perhaps there are many things that you love, you yearn for, you desire, but they may be extremely harmful and bad for you. Wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows what is good for you, and you know not. The ability to trust in Allah, accept your circumstances, and know that life unfolds according to the wisdom and plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to always understand this distinction between what pleasure means and what lasting happiness really is. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.